7 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. It's Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. From the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. So a busy, busy Thursday morning and a lot of football to get to. Voice of Buffalo's Mark Johnson coming up in a little bit, the Johnson & Johnson Hour, because we'll talk Delta Panthers football with Coach Ben Johnson. As the Panthers drop from second to third, they shut out Rifle, but they dropped to third in the 2A poll.
How's that work?
Okay. We'll talk with Ben Johnson
coming up. That's definitely it. All Front Range teams away from the Western Slope at all costs.
That's how that works.
I should mention tomorrow, by the way, Chassa Commissioner Mike Krueger is going to join us, 9 o'clock hour.
Tomorrow, top, interesting.
Right. Top of the 9 o'clock hour. Well, what?
Well, no, it's not fair to make them travel.
No, it had nothing to do with you. Wow, it's always about you.
I didn't say that.
No, that's what you're implying. Oh, Friday, how interesting when I'm not here.
Remember, I'm not the one who said.
You were the one that really matters in this deal.
That wasn't me.
That was very sarcastic if you totally take it out of context.
The tape doesn't lie.
You were the one that really matters.
The editing, though,
in this
makes
deal.
It sound like something that it really doesn't sound like. Okay, that's not what the intent was. Very sarcastic.
Sarcastic. It's like a text.
You can't hear tone from audio. Is that
no, but it's just a sarcasm my voice. Oh, you're the only thing that really matters.
You're the one that really matters in this deal.
You know, just the tone of sarcasm.
It sounded
there.
Genuine.
It did not. No, I know me. And I know what I said. And that was not genuine.
Feels real. Real.
So, you know, Buckeye, it really is all about you. You're probably recording. I'm sure you're recording this.
Of course. Everything's on tape.
against me. All right. So Ben Johnson coming up later on. And also Palisade football coach Joe Romano. Bulldogs have Golden tomorrow before they get into a league play. It's been a rough stretch for Palisade. They have played some very good football teams. Montrose last week. Roosevelt, the number one team in 3A football to open up the season. And hoping to get things turned around tomorrow against Golden over at Stoker Stadium. Tonight, it's the Fruit of Monmouth Wildcats, your number four team in 4A football, taking on Bear Creek. I'll have that game along with Ethan Jordan. And then we'll join Pittsburgh and Cleveland in progress tonight. And we'll talk more about that game, more about the Broncos and the 49ers coming up on Sunday. So get some thoughts about the Broncos and 49ers. Russ is 16-4. All time against San Francisco. Of course, he played them twice a season in division. Can Russ keep that going now that it's a different zip code, different uni? I guess, okay, here's the thing I'm going to ask the pile. I'll ask you because I've seen this on some blogs and stuff.
Okay.
Of people way more concerned now that Garoppolo was there as opposed to facing Trey Lance.
Yeah, I can see that.
From the experience standpoint, operating this offense maybe at a higher, more consistent level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see where Garoppolo, that would be a concern. Lance was a wild card, though, because of his athletic ability, right? To be able to run and make plays with his legs. Garoppolo, though, does give them an upgrade in terms of knowledge of the offense, experience.
I think it's, to a lesser extent, it's the story of the first 2 weeks as well. You know, Geno Smith looked really good against the Broncos. Part of that was the Broncos just kind of not being on the same page, it felt like.
And then Denver's second half kind of
figured him out. But yeah. It's a guy that knows that offense, has been in it the last few years, is a veteran, yep. Is not going to panic after one bad play, bad drive, a bad block, whatever.
Experience is important.
Where Davis Mills is a second-year guy who's not had any success whatsoever, and so he's going to be a little more apt to make mistakes. I think you can kind of lay that over the top of the Jimmy G, Trey Lance.
Davis Mills was pretty good at the end of last season, but I know what you're saying. It was rookie last year. I mean, it was just kind of, hey, you know, let's see what this guy can do because of the Deshaun Watson situation. But he played really well at the end of last season. But you're right, not a guy with a lot of experience, a rookie last year. Mm-hmm. Those are valid points. I can see both sides of it where Garoppolo makes it a little more difficult because of knowing the system, his experience. He's battle-tested.
All he does is win.
Where Trey Lance is a guy that is still an unproven commodity, and but an athletic quarterback that can could create problems. Of course, now he's recovering from the horrific ankle injury that is sustained. You have to wonder what kind of impact that's going to have on him moving forward, because mobility is a big part of what his game, and how does it impact that when he finally gets back on a football field. I just think for the Broncos that, you know, the bigger concern to me is Deebo Samuel. And can Denver find a way to negate his ability to get into space, make big plays, huge factor in the running game, obviously a big factor in their pass game. And just if George Kittle plays, I'm more concerned about George Kittle because of the Broncos struggling still at times. While they didn't give up anything to O.J. Howard last week, which was good, they did to the tight ends in Seattle the week before. And George Kittle is going to give you at least a little bit of a feeling of what can Denver deal with covering tight ends. Was that first game an outlier? Because the second game, Howard certainly didn't. Their tight ends didn't really factor in much. Can the Broncos cover George Kittle? Can they, if he does play, he's been dealing with the groin injury. Sounds, we had Jake Hutchinson on yesterday from KNBR. Mm-hmm. Sounds like good likelihood that he is going to play Sunday.
Right.
And remember the coming out party that he had a few years ago against the Broncos. This is a really good test. This is the kind of game, if you're a Broncos fan, this is where we get a really good sense of where the Broncos are. Because the first 2 weeks, you've walked away not feeling great about where this football team is. I still feel like it's way, way ahead of where it's been in the past. Even with the 25 penalties in the first two games, the clock management issues, the offense is a better offense than they've had. I think, I don't, you can talk about the red zone failures and all that. It's still better than what we've seen. Does it need to get better? Yes, it does. It is as served hot and fresh on your table right now. I wouldn't be particularly happy with it, and I'm not. But
no,
I know
no one should.
But I know that the potential is there for it to be much, much better than what it is, and better than what it's been in the past. So I just feel like you look at this game, the season does not ride on this game. It's week three, okay? But this is going to be a really good litmus test of where the Broncos are.
Mm-hmm.
And are they, in 2022, are they a legitimate contender for a playoff spot? If they don't succeed on Sunday night, doesn't mean they're done. But you're going to get depending on how things go, you're going to get a pretty good indication of where they are. And have they learned anything from the last 2 weeks? Has Nathaniel Hackett learned anything from the mistakes he's made the last 2 weeks? Has his team found a way to get out of its own way in terms of penalties? A lot to be learned from this game on Sunday night, I think, if you're a Broncos fan. Because I think the feeling was going in, Denver would be 2-0. Denver would have probably beat Seattle and Houston by two touchdowns in each of those games. They're 1-1, and that's not what happened. They lost a game by a point and struggle to beat Houston 16-9. So this will be an interesting game coming up Sunday night. Two of the best defenses in the league right now. San Francisco, number one in total defense. Broncos, number three in total defense. So it's a matchup of two really good units there. I'm intrigued with this game on Sunday night, as I think most of Broncos country are. And when we saw the schedule come out, this is the game everybody said, including myself, this is the game where you're going to get a real sense of where the Broncos are.
Yeah, and I think, you know, kind of to dovetail that into the Lance Garoppolo discussion, I think you're going to get a better idea with Jimmy G as to where this team stacks up with the upper echelon of the NFL than you would with Trey Lance.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Because, I mean, this is a team last year, it's a Final Four team that was a drive, a dropped pass away from, you know, going to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. And I think it's a different team. I don't think they're nearly as good. I don't think they're – I understand what Jake Hutchinson was trying to say yesterday, long-term ceiling-wise. This year's ceiling is much lower with Trey Lance than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Even with Jimmy's limited skill set, right? I mean, he's not the most athletic quarterback. But like you've referenced, he just knows how to win. And that's the thing about him is he knows how to win.
I mean, if you just look at where they've been the last 3 years with him, say what you want about limited skill set and his lack of mobility and all this other stuff. I mean, the team's been on the doorstep.
And he's played a role in that. And obviously was thought enough of in New England, where Bill Belichick really wanted to keep him. And got sent packing because TB12 didn't want him hanging over his shoulder, and neither guy is there now. So, yeah, I agree that we kind of say, well, Garoppolo's not that great, but look what he does, though.
Yeah,
he got him to a Super Bowl. He's got him to an NFC Championship game,
and that it didn't go into overtime, but the late field goal, I think, it was inside the 2 minute warning.
Yeah,
you know, so at the 2 minute warning, they are competing for the NFC title last year against the team that ultimately ended up winning it. And then, save for a ridiculous fourth quarter, they would have won the Super Bowl 3 years ago against the Chiefs.
They had a shot in that game, and Kansas City prevailed. But, yeah, so I agree with you that Garoppolo being in there gives you a better idea of how good Denver is because of the success he's had in the past. As far as injury report goes, we'll see what happens. Patrick Surtain II said that he plans on playing Sunday. At least there's high probability, I think, to phrase it better, that he will play Sunday. He did not practice on Wednesday, so keep that in mind. We'll see what happens with Josie Jewell. He was limited at practice yesterday. Could be available to start Sunday. You have some other guys that did. Jerry Jeudy, with the rib injury, did not practice yesterday, so his status remains up in the air. So Denver goes in this a little bit nicked up. At least some good news by KJ Hamler. He did get some reps in yesterday at practice, limited at practice yesterday, but was on the field. You got Billy Turner that who knows what's going to happen to Billy Turner when he's going to be available. You also had Caden Stearns, who's now replacing Justin Simmons, who's dealing with a hip problem. He did practice yesterday, which is good news. So, like I said, Denver goes in a little bit nicked up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Gregory didn't practice yesterday, dealing with a knee injury. Expectation is he'll play on Sunday. DJ Jones didn't practice with an ankle injury yesterday. Expectation is that he'll play Sunday as well. But Denver a little beat up after that game with the Houston Texans. All right, 7:14, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Let's go ahead and get to
what's happening.
Oh, and don't forget, by the way, to get your picks in for Pile Pigskin Pick'em, powered by Kistner Motors. You just go to our website, go to theteam1340.com to get your picks. I haven't done mine yet. I need to do those this morning.
I haven't done mine yet either.
Okay, so we'll get those in sometime this morning. But you can do yours now. Go to the website. Click on the link at theteam1340.com. San Francisco pitcher Logan Webb gave up just one Rockies hit as Colorado loses to the Giants 6-1 last night at Coors Field. Webb went 5 1/3 with five strikeouts on a rainy night in Denver. Of course, they had a postponement last night as well, delay because of rain. Colorado starter Ramon Marquez dropped to 8-12 and going five innings and giving up four runs and nine hits. Eloris Montero picked up a pinch hit RBI to knock in the Rockies' only run. The series wraps up today at Coors Field with pregame at 12:30, first pitch at 1:10 on the Team Sports Network.
Ramon Marquez just has stupid bad numbers against the Giants.
It just does.
Is his ERA close to 7 against the Giants in his career? I might have to look that up, but it's
not good.
It's something stupid like that.
It is a team that has been an Achilles heel for him. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. The Broncos host San Francisco Sunday night, and they hope the quarterback Russell Wilson can continue his success against his former NFC West rivals. Wilson went 16-4 against the 49ers as the quarterback in Seattle. This time, it's as a Denver Bronco, and Wilson says linebacker Fred Warner leads a talented San Francisco defense.
Been around some great ones, and he understands everything. He processes the defense. He gets guys in the right spot. Obviously, you got Bosa coming off the edge. He's a monster coming off the edge.
49ers are the top defense of the first 2 weeks, with Denver third. Broncos cornerback Patrick Surtain the second indicated there's a very good chance he'll play Sunday. He left the Houston game with a shoulder injury. It's the Broncos in San Francisco this Sunday night with pregame at 4 and kickoff at 6:20 on the Team Sports Network. The Fruit of Monument football team looks to bounce back after their first loss of the season when they host Bear Creek tonight. They lost last week to Grandview, a 5A top 10 ranked team, in overtime last week. The Bears defense has allowed just over 10 points per game this season and sees junior Emilio Mendoza making an average of 17 tackles per game. Wildcats head coach Cameron Ross says thanks to some similar offenses earlier in Bear Creek's schedule, they have a good idea of what gets Mendoza so many tackles.
Middle linebacker is the best defensive guy that they have in Mendoza. It was good to get film against Thomas Jefferson because Thomas Jefferson runs a double tight, kind of like we do, so we're able to kind of see what their plan is going to be going against us. They really like to clog the middle with their guys, cut up front, and then let their middle linebackers run.
Wildcats host the Bears tonight on the Team Sports Network. Pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 6 o'clock. I'll have that one along with Ethan Jordan. And then we'll join in progress Thursday night football, Pittsburgh in Cleveland to square off against the Browns. The Grand Junction Tigers boys golf team finished second in their regional behind Montrose. We've taken the entire team to the 4A state tournament. The Red Hawks won the 4A region fourth, a team total of 217, two better than the Tigers, 219. The Tigers do get to take the whole team to Pelican Lakes at Windsor, and Tigers golf coach Tom Lefabre says it's rare to get to take the entire squad.
It's exciting as a coach to see young men of character and discipline and work ethic accomplish a goal. The regional title would have been nice, but getting to the state tournament is the ultimate goal, and you know that's the one that you really want to win, obviously.
Red Hawks golf coach Steve Skiff says they played well down the stretch to nip the Tigers for that regional title.
Such a great team, and they got four quality golfers, and so you knew you were going to have to play well. And regionals in golf is always a little scary because it's a one-day thing, trying to make sure that you get the team to state, and that's kind of first and foremost. To get another regional championship was icing on the cake.
The 4A state tournament's at Pelican Lakes October 4th and 5th, and that's a look at
what's happening.
Germán Márquez, 15 starts against the Giants, 6.98 ERA.
Ooh, you're
in
close.
His career.
You were in the
Ooh,
neighborhood.
Brother. Last year in four starts, 0-4, 13.81
ooh,
ERA.
Ooh.
That's not good. Ooh.
Oh.
The Giants just own him.
That's Aaron a punch Rogers, to the mommy daddy button.
Yeah. It's Ouch. Like Aaron Rodgers' Bears ownage. You see, I think the Bears have won as many games against the Packers as Rodgers, or since Rodgers was born, as Rodgers has won against the Bears. I think I saw that number over the weekend.
But it's what Rodgers and what the Bucks, they take on the Bucks, right?
This weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but Brady has the better record of the two in that one.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. All right, 7:19. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. We'll talk Buffs, UCLA, the Pac-12 opener this Saturday. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team. It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
And with us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, he's the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Good morning, Mark.
Jim, a good Thursday to you.
Good Thursday to you as well, sir. I was doing the Colorado Mesa football game, wrapped things up, was listening to you and Gary and Bobby Pesavento on the call in the Minnesota game, and where the Buffs get the late touchdown. And there was a moment, the tone of your voice, after that, talking about that touchdown, Mark, I got a sense of a little bit of Bob Uecker in Major League. Where it's one hit, one bleeping hit. That's well, we've got that going for us today. There was just a little like, well, okay, we got a touchdown, so okay, here here we are.
When you got situations like that, when it's 49-0,
yeah,
and you get a touchdown, it's going to be a little bit muted. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I've been there myself. I totally got it. And it was like, at least we're on the scoreboard. At least it's not going to be a goose egg. It's just been such an awful stretch for Colorado. I can't lay it out in any other way. And you look at that game where you're thinking, okay, JT Schrout, he might be the answer quarterback. That's not necessarily turned into the case. He did have, some success, did have a touchdown. When you look at Owen McCown, there's a big clamoring for Owen McCown, the freshman.
And there's always
the backup, right? Or in this case, the freshman third-string quarterback. There's a clamoring for him. Do you think we see Owen McCown against UCLA?
I bet we do. But, is Owen McCown the savior? He might be. I think maybe I mentioned on your show, through camp, I saw some things from him. I went, wow, this kid's got something. Gary Barnett did a similar thing in 2000, I believe it was. The bus started 0-4, and they were going down to take on a top 25 team in Texas A&M and started Craig Oaks, and they won. So Gary and I were talking about that here last week one day, and so it's been done before. It happens. But listen, this 0-3 start with all three games being lost by over 25 points, first time, by the way, in 132-year history of Colorado football that's ever happened. It's that old line about throwing the deck chair out the Titanic. I mean, the quarterback situation is not going to change everything. There's a lot going on here. This is embarrassing. Anybody who is involved with Colorado football, that goes from Carl Durrell to the players, to the coaches, to the staff, to the broadcasters, to anybody, right? You're embarrassed by the way this thing has started. And it's not okay. It's there's no excuse for it. And there's some hard work that's got to be done. And can Owen McCown go in there and show us something? Sure he can. I'm kind of excited to see what he might do. I mean, late in that ball game, he came in and did a couple of things. But it's, from a fan perspective, when there's desperation, fans are always clamoring for the unknown, right? That's going to be the fix. And I'm not impugning in any way, shape, or form or grading Owen McCown. He might be a very, very, very good quarterback by the time it's all said and done. I don't know. But to think that, that 18-year-old kid's going to walk out there on Saturday and, just transform everything is certainly not the case. But my guess is we probably see him on Saturday.
Mark Johnson voiced the Buffaloes with us. I don't think it's – it would be nice, right, if it was just plugging in Owen McCown because they played sensational defense and they've lost, a couple of, one-score games where the offense just didn't click. And the defense, which we've seen at times the last couple of years, sometimes the defense has had to carry the load for this Buffs football team. That would be a different story. But that's not the story right now, is it? Right. I mean, it's problems on both sides of the football.
Jim, you look at it, and I'll get the numbers off a spot or two, and it really doesn't matter when you're down in the basement. But the Buffs are like 129th in total offense, 127th in scoring offense, and on the defensive side, they're in that same ballpark, 120-something in the country. I mean, that doesn't get fixed by one guy stepping in the field. There's a lot going on here with this thing, and it's I gotta be honest with you, I'm shocked. I mean, going through camp, listen, I didn't think Colorado was going to be a 12-0 football team. I thought they can go out and compete and be in bowl conversation by the time it's all said and done. And you think about that first half we saw against TCU 3 weeks ago, and I thought, well, see, there you go. That's the kind of football team I thought this would be. You're going to go out there, you're going to scrap, you're going to play hard, you're going to, you've got some talent on this team, right. You have a great deal of depth. This team is going to be in games. And then since halftime of that game, they haven't been in games at all, period. And so, that starts to, I think, indicate there are things going on inside the locker room and that, that the staff's got to get a hold of in terms of the buy-in and all these different things we talk about when teams go south. And so, it's very disappointing when you watch this thing. If this team was just competitive and losing close ball games, you'd go, okay, yeah, you can maybe make a quarterback a change and maybe things will pick up a little bit here, maybe they'll be all right. But that's not certainly not the case.
And it doesn't help when you have one of your better running backs, and Alex Fontenot on the shelf right now, had the chest injury and the loss at Air Force, and it looks like good likelihood that, Fontenot's not going to be available for Saturday's Pac-12 opener against UCLA.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be out there. In fact, Carl yesterday after practice kind of indicated as such, and so that's going to be a little bit while longer. Deion Smith has played relatively well. Charlie Offerdahl has played relatively well, I think. But then again, you know, a lot of what can be fixed on this team, and any football team, if you're winning the line of scrimmage, you can run the football, and you can stop the football, and you can get pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And I don't think that's the case right now. And so, you know, I'm always one of these guys. There are two spots I go to immediately when I see a football team struggling. Quarterback, obviously, and then the offensive line, since we're talking offense. And right now that offensive line's not playing very well. That's why they, you know, they shuffled things last week, gave a true freshman a start at left guard at Van Wells, you know, moved Casey Roddick over to right tackle because Jake Wiley had been struggling, and things didn't quite seem to work out there. So by the second half, they had gone back to their kind of normal line of five out there on the offensive front, if you will. And so, you know, there's a lot going on up front there as well. Now, they've got to be able to move the line of scrimmage, create some holes for those running backs to run through, protect the quarterback, give whoever it is back there time to, you know, look downfield and figure out what they're doing and make some plays. And so, like I said, you can kind of go every level of this football team and talk about where there's got to be some improvement.
And Carl Durrell made the comment that right now his guys are staying together. But, boy, that's the tough thing right now, right, Mark, is for Carl Durrell and the staff to keep these guys together, to keep trying to find solutions to some of these problems, because finger-pointing starts when you're out to this kind of, you know, the kind of start like this, and things start to fracture, and guys start to think about hitting the transfer portal. We've seen that a little bit with CSU, with one of their Nevada transfer receivers deciding to leave CSU this week, that then those things start to fracture and guys start to look at other places to go to.
Listen, without question. I mean, we've all been around bad situations where everyone started jumping ship. I mean, you know, John Dean one time years ago in the Watergate scandal talked about how, you know, as time wore on, everyone was just jumping ship like crazy and singing like canaries, right? And so that's what happens. When things go bad, you start to have issues. And you know, losing a couple of ball games is one thing. But again, I go back to, you know, Jim, the differentiation between the teams we see. I mean, 49-0 at one point. When you get an oh, by the way, touchdown. Every single game has been lopsided. And that's what's frustrating about this. It seems, you know, there's a will and a want to that every team has got to have, as Jeff Bozdelic used to use that phrase all the time when he was a basketball coach. And when things get tough, that will and want to has got to carry a team. And so, you know, kind of what we've seen here is that when things start going south a little bit, and they have in two of these games, by the way, very early. Think about that from TCU and the one last week. Very quickly, you're down 7-0, literally seconds into a ball game. And when that kind of thing starts to happen, when you start, your unity starts to fall apart a little bit on the sideline. Now, I'm not saying Carl Durrell's lost the team, but I'm saying when the adversity hits, you're seeing a team that's going, oh, man, here we go again, kind of thing. And you know, that's disappointing and something they got to get figured out.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, with us on the Team Sports Network. Now it's UCLA. And for the Bruins, Mark, they're off to a 3-0 start. Though if you look at the schedule, it's not exactly murderer's row. Bowling Green, Alabama State, South Alabama, they've won those first two games comfortably, 45-17, 45-7. South Alabama, though, that was a little bit of a dicey one where Chip Kelly and the Bruins able to eke out a one-point victory in that one.
Now, that was a ball game that when I saw that on the schedule coming up last week, I said, keep an eye on that contest. That may be an upset right there. South Alabama's got athletes. They've got a lot of athletes for not being an FBS team. And so I wasn't totally shocked by that. Listen, UCLA's a good football team. Are they a great football team? I don't think so. I think they're a solid football team. You know, here's what they do have, though. DTR has been there, I think, 42 years now as quarterback.
No kidding.
UCLA. I mean, it seems like he has just been around forever. So for the really second, maybe the third week in a row, I'm thinking in my head, go back to Air Force with Daniels, and last week the quarterback at Morgan at Minnesota, now DTR, you've got extremely experienced quarterbacks, guys that have played a lot of football. I mean, multi-year starters. And so anytime you've got that, that makes things very challenging, obviously. You don't rattle that guy. There's that old line in football, they always say, you know, you pressure a rookie and you defend a veteran. Well, the Buffs are going to have to defend this guy, and he's got great acumen, football IQ, I should say. He can use his legs. He's mobile. He's smart. And so, yeah, they've got a challenge on Saturday.
Yeah, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, off to a good start throwing the football this season. Six touchdowns, just one interception. So he's been really good in taking care of the football. And Zach Charbonnet has been their leading rusher this season, 189 yards. But it has been the play of Dorian Thompson-Robinson that's really kind of led the way for this offense. And I think in the past he's had moments, Mark, where he's turned the football over in at the worst possible time for Chip Kelly. Like I said, first three opponents, maybe not the murderer's row exactly, but Robinson's played really well so far.
Well, and you know, it's kind of funny because here the Buffs are sitting with now three young quarterbacks, two sophomores and one true freshman, trying to figure it out. And it seems like every time I turn around, we're playing another team with a veteran quarterback and a senior and junior laden team. And that's just not where the Buffs are right now. And youth is an excuse, or rather, it's a reason, not an excuse. You know, think about this for a second. You know, I've said many times, I think, in your show, Kettleman's got 90 underclassmen of the 115 on the roster, only 12 seniors on this team. Very young football team. And, you know, that's, again, not an excuse, but it's a reason. But then last Friday night, Air Force goes up to Wyoming, and Wyoming gets, the Cowboys get a win over the Falcons. And guess what? Wyoming's got 96 underclassmen on their team. So youth is not an excuse, as we talk about all the time. It can be a reason why things go south, but it's not an excuse. And so, you know, the Buffs have got to understand, they're a young football team, too bad. You know, there are other teams that are young football teams as well. You still got to go out and compete and play hard.
And that'll be the Pac-12 opener coming up on Saturday for Colorado. And you can hear Mark and Gary Barnett with the call from Folsom Field with the kickoff at noon Saturday on 1100 KNZZ 92.7 FM. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, joins us every Thursday on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I do want to ask you about Washington and Washington State. I mean, everybody's been talking about USC. They have been great. There's no doubt about it that the Lincoln Riley's got it cooking at USC right now. But Washington, with the job that Michael Penix Jr. is doing there at quarterback, Washington State, they took care of Colorado State, but they also went into Camp Randall when they were a top 25 team and beat Wisconsin. Those are two teams that are going to make some noise with Utah and, of course, USC right now, probably the creme de la creme of the Pac-12 at the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the Washington State thing, and you know, and Oregon State's playing some good football too.
Yeah,
I mean,
they are.
You know, think about that. That's why when I get into conversations with people about, you know, where the Buffs are, and you know, they're always like, well, you know, this, and they want to come up with that reason, and NIL, and on and on and on. Listen, there are teams out there in not such, shall we say, great locales that are playing some very good football. Kansas State's playing some pretty good football. Oregon State's playing some pretty good football. Washington State's playing outstanding football right now. This can be done, and I get a little frustrated at times when you talk to people and you always hear the excuses, why not? You know, there was a guy that I knew years ago, and he always, how did he put it? He always said, I defer to the yes, right? And that's his point was, everything I look at, I defer to the yes, the positive side of this. This can be done until it's proven otherwise to me. And that's why I get frustrated when I hear about this. Well, but, you know, Colorado this. And listen, there's a national championship trophy I pass every single day. There's a Heisman trophy I pass every single day. This program can be good, it can be solid, and can be competitive week in and week out. You know, it's not like some of the areas, the towns I just mentioned, or some of the schools I just mentioned, are the beacons of college athletics, for goodness' sake.
Yes,
and so that's why I think from a fan standpoint, Buffs fans are a little frustrated, and they should be right now. I mean, I've done this. This is year number 19 for me doing the Buffaloes. You know how many winning seasons I've called? Four.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Two with Gary Barnett in 2004 and 2005. 2016 when the Buffs won the South. And then, the truncated season with COVID a few years ago, which, was got an asterisk by because it was only four games during the regular camp, or five games, I guess, during the regular campaign. So, that's not what this program is. That's not what a program should be. And I think everybody involved, inside the championship center, starting from Rick George on the way on down, all the way out to the fan base, always, all believe that. And it's kind of tough and, sad that it's gone on this long.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so, Mark, now my expectation is every Thursday, you're going to have a great political or historical reference, like the John Dean reference. I'm going to have that every week now because I don't think we've had a John Dean Watergate reference on this program in a very long time. So I
have no idea where that even came from, to be honest with you.
It was sensational, by the way. I was like, John Dean? Wow, Mark has got the the brain is firing in all cylinders this morning for Mark Johnson.
Well, so. I always told my broadcast students, you can't be just a sports person when you're a sportscaster. You better have a broad foundation, right? There have to be a lot of depth a lot of times in some of those areas you go to. But you've got to know, you know, I always used to tell them about Al Michaels. Remember when he did the Earthquake World Series
with
the Giants and the A's? And he ends up winning a news Emmy because he had to anchor the news when the earthquake hit. He was the guy. I think it was ABC at the time, wasn't it?
Yes.
But anyway, whatever network it was, he was on there, and he won a news Emmy for handling that. And I said, there's a great example why you have to know more than just sports when you're in the sports industry.
Jim McKay, the Munich Olympics.
Amen.
I mean, he was sensational. Switching, you know, from being a sportscaster and anchor to covering a horrible, horrible incident with the terrorists in Germany.
Exactly right. I've said many times, and I always tell my students, you know, I would ask them when classes started, so why do you want to be a sportscaster? And, you know, they'd give me, I love sports, wrong answer, and they'd give me all kinds of variations of that. Finally, I'd say, be a sportscaster because you love broadcasting.
Yeah.
And as long as you love broadcasting, not just, you know, I know the numbers and, you know, who's got the most home runs in history, stop it with all that. Understand, you know, human nature. Understand society. You know what, how things work. You know what the history is. Understand those things. And I've always said, if they told me tomorrow I could ever broadcast another game, I'd still be in broadcasting some form or fashion. Just wouldn't be doing sports. And that's important, I think, for all young sportscasters.
Absolutely.
See, I always went with the mile wide, foot deep.
There you
theory.
Go. Yeah.
Well, no, just a little
a lot
about
of truth
a lot
in that, in many respects. Because when people, you know, if somebody makes a John Dean reference, and, you know, you're sitting there glassy-eyed like I have no idea what you're talking about, well, you just missed an opportunity when you're on the air and something like that happens. So you've got to be able to, you know, have a little bit a broader knowledge base. Like I said, you don't have to, you know everything about John Dean, but you better know who he was.
Just
absolutely.
A little bit about a lot of random stuff.
There
that's
you go.
Where, that's
but
where
that's
I
good.
Go.
Yeah. That's a good way to be.
Yep.
Hey, Mark, I appreciate it. Have a great call on Saturday, and let's hope the Buffs can maybe get this thing turned around, starting with UCLA.
Boy, from your mouth to God's ears, man. All right. Sounds good.
All right. Sounds good. Take care. Bye. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, talking politics, historical political moments and sports.
For the job, that's a good poll. At home, it's why do you know that? Not how, but why? That's usually what I get. Why do you know that?
And look, I can tell, and I've told this to young broadcasters, what Mark says is absolutely true, that when I started out, I did news and sports, and I did that for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Covered both areas, a lot of local politics, local government, and was here when 9/11 happened and involved in our coverage locally on that terrible, horrific day. Mm-hmm. And it's... knowing, like you said, knowing a little about a lot of things,
yeah,
is extremely helpful. And
I
getting,
think so.
And getting out of just, hey, I just know sports and that's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
Mark is spot on with that.
And
to, it's good to know a lot of different things.
To apply it on a macro level to like you and I, we all do two different things around here. Like pretty much everybody that works here does two different shows, right?
Correct.
Not everybody does just sports, right? Or we, you know, are multiple different formats. So you got to have that flexibility a little bit to be useful to a small operation.
Talk about other stuff because we're on other radio stations and not sports doesn't always necessarily interest that audience.
Yeah.
And
if
you
don't
speak to that audience,
fake it. You know?
there you go. 7:43, it's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Bucca?
Zach Hampel, baseball chaser tool.
Oh.
Remember a couple weeks ago, he put out the video blasting, air quotes, Coors Field security? Well... the gentleman in that video is John, the usher at Coors Field, and there was a fan who ran into John and asked him, hey, so what's the deal with Zach Hempel? Maybe, allegedly.
I was working a day game against the St. Louis Cardinals. It was during batting practice, but they didn't have batting practice because it was a getaway day. Zach was down below in the handicap section. There was a little boy in the top, in the row right above that, he asked one of the coaches who was walking on the field, hey, coach, could you give me a ball? Coach threw it up to him. Ball hits him in the glove, bounces down on the concourse here. Zach picks it up, comes walking toward me, and I says, why didn't you give the ball to the kid? He said, because it's my ball. He dropped it, so it's my ball.
What a tool.
What an absolute jerk.
What a D-bag.
Yeah, like I said, he charges people to show them the best places to go in each stadium if he's in that town that day. Charge them quite a bit.
Yeah.
For where's the perfect place to catch a foul ball. What a jerk. They did a real sports segment on him. He's made a living out of this.
Mm-hmm.
What an absolute jerk. Well, he is. He's just a total jerk.
There's never a shortage of tools out there, too. Tools buy into other tools, right?
Very true. All right, 7:45. We'll take a break. Delta Panthers football coach Ben Johnson joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Time to get in the huddle with Delta coach Ben Johnson on The Team.
And our conversation with Ben Johnson brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Good morning, Ben. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you today?
Doing fine. Your ball club gets the win to get to 4-0. You shut out Rifle, and your friend and colleague, Ryan Whittington and the Rifle Bears, a really good football team. You get the 21-0 victory in that one, and I think that you look at that game as a game where offensively didn't click the way you normally do, but your defense went out and pitched the shutout, which is fantastic when you get a 16-tackle night from Connor Workman. Clay Sandage had 11 tackles. Boy, those two guys did a sensational job on the defensive side for you.
Yeah, I thought defensively those two young men had a great night. You know, Connor had the 16 tackles, I think 5 for loss. He's really played well, and Clay Sandridge also had a really strong night. And like you said, offensively, we didn't click like we thought we would. We fumbled early, which was our first turnover of the year, but it sort of pinned us pretty deep. And then they drove deep into our end zone, and we sort of got pinned there for about a quarter and a half. And then once we were able to get out of the hole a little bit, get on their side of the field, score some touchdowns, and get the win.
You led it 7-0 at halftime. You put 2 touchdowns on the scoreboard in the third quarter. What was the message to your guys at halftime with just that 7-0 lead?
You know, they knew it was going to be a hard-fought game. Coach Witt does a great job, and Rifle has some really good players. And the turnover early really cost us some field position. And it took us, like I said, a while to flip that field. And then once we got it flipped, we were able to get some scores. But I just talked to them at half that, you know, now that it's a new half, we get the ball, we went out, we had a good drive, but it fizzled out the first drive, and then we scored on the second and third drive, so to push the lead to 21, and then we had another late turnover. But other than that, I thought the kids played pretty good. We just got to eliminate the turnovers.
Ben Johnson, coach of the Delta Panthers, with us on the team. Landon Clay, 5 of 19, 77 yards, a touchdown and a pick. He also had 48 yards on the ground, so Landon's still doing a nice job at your quarterback spot. What is the status of Ty Reed, though? Because I know that you'd love to get Ty back in there when he's healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, Landon did a nice job. We struggled a little bit in the passing game against Rifle. It was just one of those nights. It was homecoming. Everybody was amped up, and he was throwing it a little bit of high. So once he settled down, we had some open receivers that we missed, and later in the game we were able to hit him. But Ty Reed, we're excited to get him back. He'll be back for the Bayfield game. So we're looking at, we got the Academy this week, and then Pagosa, then Salida, and then he'll be back for Bayfield. So about 3 more weeks, and then we should have him back, and it'll be fun to have him back.
And this game on Saturday is a big one, because your team now, the number 3 team in 2A, the Academy is the number 4 team right now. You're 4-0, they're 3-0. And so this is a big top 5 matchup that you have coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. You know, it's a chance to get over to Denver to show what we're about over here. And it's a quality opponent in the Academy. They've had a great start to their year, so it should be a fun game. And they're a good team. They throw the ball around a lot. They have a really good athletic quarterback that can run and throw. And We must keep him contained, otherwise he will be a problem. But I think our defense is playing really well right now, so I like the matchup.
Yeah, Isaiah Elliott for them, their quarterback you referenced, been really good. About 76% completion percentage, 672 through the air, 7 touchdowns, no picks. It looks like Elliott does a really nice job in decision-making and taking care of the football.
Yeah, he really does. And the 76% completion ratio is pretty amazing in high school football. Usually you're hoping for 50%. Yeah. So 76% is outstanding, and he does a great job. So we're hoping to put some pressure on him, some things he hasn't seen yet this year, and really get after him with an aggressive defensive line.
And then defensively for them, they've been led in tackles this year by Corbin Miller. He has 25 tackles. What's the scheme that you're seeing on film that they like to run?
You know, they run like a 3-4, sometimes a 3-3. They go two high, they go one high, depending on your formation. So they're more coverage by formation. So we're just planning to have, if we have a tight end or two backs, to have that extra linebacker in the box. And when we're a little bit more spread, they'll go to a two high look. So we want to get real physical with them. I think they've played some good teams, but I don't think they've played anyone really physical quite yet. So I just want to see how they handle that early in the game.
And we'll have the game this Saturday over on the Monkey, 95.7 here in the Valley. And for Delta, it's 97.1. So we will have Delta at Academy this Saturday on our sister station, the Monkey. And that's a 3:30 kickoff. Our pregame starts at 3:15 for that one. I do, Ben, have to ask you very quickly here, about the Chassa 2A rankings. You're 4-0. You shut out Rifle on homecoming, yet you drop a spot as Eaton moves into second. They're 3-1. You're 4-0. How does that happen? How do you post a pitch a shutout and you end up dropping a spot?
You know, I think there's so many coaches over there in that coach's poll that are very familiar with Eaton, and we don't get the same looks over here. So, you know, Eaton came up and they beat a really good Severance team last week. So I think some of the coaches saw that, and even though they had the one loss to the number one team, TCA, they bumped them up and slid us down a little bit. So I'm excited we get to go to Denver and play a quality opponent and sort of prove our worth a little bit and let some other coaches see us play and see what happens.
Very good. We'll have the game once again, 95.7 The Monkey here in the Valley, 97.1 in Delta on Saturday pregame at 3:15. Hey, Ben, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and best of luck at the Academy on Saturday.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Hour 2.